Wonderful. We're going to jump in today into our fourth installment of our Romans Road trip. If you've been here the last few weeks, if not, you can always check it out on our podcast or on Facebook Live. But we have been out to Las Vegas, Sin City. We've been to the Grand Canyon. Talked about what an amazing place that is. Last week, we talked out of Romans 4 about going to Grandpa's house. So Abraham or Grandpa Gross, depending on who you are today. There's a lot of grandpas who would call Grandpa Gross their grandpa here. And today, we're going to look into Romans chapter 6. And specifically looking at the thought of freedom and liberty. Now, in America, we have this amazing statue, copper statue in New York City, right in the middle of the harbor, called the Statue of Liberty. There's a more formal name, but that's what we call it, or Lady Liberty. I even like that one. You know, when you think about the Statue of Liberty, first of all, some non-important things I think we should all know, such as the shoe size. Can anybody tell me the shoe size of the Statue of Liberty? I'll give you a dollar. Nobody? Nobody. Okay, I didn't think so. The shoe size would be 879. That's what I've been told. That's what research said. So shoe size 879, very important. There's 354 steps in the Statue of Liberty. So it'd be a great place to exercise if you don't want to be able to walk the next day, I think, because that sounds really painful. There were 300 different types of hammers used to give shape to its copper structure. I did not know there were 300 different types of hammers. And I don't think we're talking about, you know, like Cobalt and Craftsman, like different shapes and sizes and all of those sorts of things. In 1886, it was the highest iron structure in the world. It functioned as a lighthouse for 16 years. And today, the copper would be worth well over $150 million. Now, another thing that I found interesting is we think of the Statue of Liberty as the green color that it is, but it started, and it is, copper. So it started, it was copper color. It was brown, a dark color, not green. But the most interesting, even more interesting than the shoe size, was the fact that it is estimated that the Statue of Liberty is hit with lightning some 600 times every year, which I thought that sounded impossible. This could be fake news. I don't know, but that's what the research I did says. 600 bolts of lightning every single year. But more important than the stats or the shoe size of the Statue of Liberty or what the Statue of Liberty stand for. This beacon to the world, this beacon, I think, to ourselves that we are free. Back towards the beginning when people would come and when boats and people would be actually on that island as a part of becoming and getting to America and being entered into America. People that were looking for a home, looking for the American dream. This statue, this monument, it was gifted to the USA by the French in 1886, celebrating the centennial of the American Declaration of Independence. This beacon of liberty, of freedom. Now, when I think about the Statue of Liberty, and then I maybe relate it into our Christian life, I think of the amazing liberty that Jesus has given to every single one of us. In one moment, the last few weeks we've been talking about this word justification, or the fact that he just pours his righteousness upon you. Justification, just as if we never sinned. In one moment, I come, I offer Jesus myself, I put my faith in him and turn my back on my past and my sin, and I'm justified. I'm free. I have liberty in my life. In the same way, as American citizens, we can look at as people that have come to our shores, we can look at the Statue of Liberty and see this beacon of freedom. But maybe you are like me, and in your Christian walk, there are things in your life that may not line up as well with the Word of God as you would want. I'm not going to make you lift your hand today, but I think all of us could say there's things and struggles, maybe even today, things I've done that I wish I didn't do, sin that is in my life. And in our country, there are freedom issues, there's justice issues that we still wrestle with and that we still have to grow in every single day. I believe right now, in this moment in our history, in America, we have choices to make. choices, maybe even more than in November for a president, but choices in who are we going to be? Are we going to truly be a nation that everyone can feel safe and free and can have liberty in? Are we going to? Because if we do, it will take work and effort. And I am really excited that August 30th, we are going to be starting a conversation that's going to go, just to get us rolling, from August 30th to September 12th, a Sunday morning, three Wednesday nights, and a Sunday morning. We're going to be talking about racial reconciliation. We're going to be talking about how we, as the church, can be a place that is safe for everyone, that we can love everyone, just as Jesus, as we were created as one race, that we can look at one another as humans, no matter what someone looks like or what socioeconomic background someone has or how they talk or whatever things maybe you personally struggle with. How can we all be one? And so I encourage you to come August 30th, Sunday morning, the next three Wednesday nights, and followed by September 20th. As we have guest speakers, we have panels, we have conversation that I believe is going to be a growth step. When I think of liberty, when I think of this conversation, I think some of us today, if we're honest, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but you might be uncomfortable just about what I just said. The fact we're going to have a conversation, maybe you don't think we need to have it, or maybe whatever it might be in your mind. And I encourage you, if you kind of put a defense up, I would ask you, in fact, if I could beg you as your pastor, I encourage you to be here August 30, to come to those special Wednesday night conversations, because I believe we're all going to grow together. Some of us here, you're like, this is cool, sounds fun. Come to those nights. Some of you, you just got so excited in your spirit. You're like, this is it. We're going to grow. This is so awesome. Come. We need all voices to be able to talk through and work and grow together as a church family, so that I believe we can do what we should do, which is lead our world in liberty, in freedom, in love for one another. The Statue of Liberty means so much. And I think when we look at the church, if you have been around or you've been on the internet at all, or you just keep your eyes open, different people have different view of God's grace. Different people, in fact, right here in the book of Romans, we see that Paul is talking about grace. We see that Paul, in fact, in chapter 5, verse 20, he's laid out a sentence where he says, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. And he realized, I believe, why we have chapter 6, that some people might take that as this is a good thing. That I have sinned, that means God's grace gets to cover it, God's grace gets to grow. In other words, we sin, Jesus came to the earth, he forgave us by dying on the sin, by covering our sin over, and now the more I sin, the more grace God gets to pour out. And Paul, we're going to look at here in a few moments, refutes the fact that that would be something that a Christian, a follower of Jesus, should have or be a part of in their life. In fact, right from the beginning verses, the question is made clear. The question, should we keep on sinning? Verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul lays it out very clear. In fact, if you're in the room today and you've been struggling, or you're in the room today and you say there's sin in my life or something, maybe for weeks or months, maybe your whole life, and you know it's not God honoring, you know it doesn't line up with the word of God, today is the question. Should I keep on doing what is not right, what I know doesn't line up with the word, so that grace may abound? I believe Paul is getting right to it, that this attitude, deciding ahead of time to take advantage of God, shows that a person does not understand the seriousness of sin. Just the fact that there is grace and is mercy does not mean that I want to just live in that grace and mercy. Now, thankfully, I have it covering me, but I don't want to continue to sin. Now, I think of this maybe in my home growing up. My parents, they were, I think, the best parents in the world. Maybe some others would disagree. I might be biased. I don't know. But I think they were pretty awesome. But I realized really early on that my dad and my mom would love me if I messed up. But I realized really early on that if I listened to my mom and dad and I did what my mom and dad asked, then my life was way better. I can't even understate that. Way better. Why? Because if I asked to go to a friend's house, the answer was yes. If I wasn't living as I should, the answer was no. Because what are you going to do? You know, because they realized that the things that I might do would hurt me, could hurt my future, or could help me and help my future. And I believe that in the same way, when we would come, maybe a young person in the room, or maybe a middle-aged or older person in the room, and ask this question, I believe it shows that we have missed it. Because Christ's death, what he did on the cross, shows us the seriousness of sin. And we see Paul's response in verse 2. This is a little bit vague. I'm not sure if we can quite get it. But the question is, are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? And his answer, though it's vague, maybe we can get it today, was by no means. Not vague. Really clear. You could lay it out that basically say not even the thought of continuing to sin should be in our life. Not even letting that be a thing that says it's okay, grace is fine. He's like, no, don't sin so that grace can abound, because if so, you're missing what Jesus did on the cross. You're missing what he wants to do, how he wants to move in your life. And just get rid of that out of your life, and all of a sudden, everything will begin to look different. Verse 2 through 4, it says, by no means, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Can we keep sinning? By no means, Paul says. Absolutely not. Don't even think of it, because he has given you new life. We've been baptized into his death. A few weeks ago, out at Pastor Dennis's pond, there were eight young people who, they took a step and they were baptized. They showed the world that what God had done in their heart, they wanted to live out loud. They wanted to show the world that they're dead to sin, to their old life. And when they came up into new life, they are a new person. And that is what Jesus did for you and for me. He didn't die and come to this earth and then die and then be resurrected so we can just keep hurting ourselves and hurting others living in sin, but so that we can have newness of life. Paul's response shows us the seriousness of this new life. And I want to encourage and beg you today, if you think it's okay to live against the word of God, I'm really grateful for God's grace. But the answer is it is not. It will hurt you. It will hurt somebody else. Your witness, your life, your future will be affected by what you choose to do. And today, we need to line up with the word of God and realize that sin is serious. And we need to realize that new life is just as serious, to walk in Jesus. And I believe we begin to understand why here in verses 5 through 10, as we're united with him. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Today we are called to be united with him. Likeness of his death. We participate. That our old person, the sinful life, the things that we've done are gone. And it's our job, our responsibility to thank the Lord for his righteousness, that in a moment, not because of me, not because of you, we walk in his righteousness. But now our goal of our life is to unite with him, to come under his word, to come under the truths of his word, so that we look more and more and more and more like what he's made us, like what he sees and what he's done in us. We then become more like him, united with him every day. his resurrection. He welcomes us to come into what he did and to who he is. He wants to influence your life. He wants to influence your future. He wants to influence the next steps and the next places you go. He wants to influence your decisions. He wants to influence, and even as Pastor Dave said, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. He wants to guide your every single step. So we're not making our own choices. We're not doing our own thing. We're not just being whatever we want to be, but instead we are lining up with the God of the universe. And no, I'm not going to keep sinning, because my relationship with God, being united with him, is so much better, it's so much greater, and it's what he's called us to do as his children. We have been freed. We've been freed. We've been justified or acquitted from the consequences of sin. And we've been acquitted. We've been freed from having to live a life of sin. It's so incredibly vital. And today when I look out across a room like this, there's people that you understand, there's people that you struggle, and you're like, I struggle to do what I should do. And I believe it's when we understand and we come under his righteousness to realize he's no longer, what have you done? Why did you do that? But at the same time, his grace that he poured out upon us is so that while we are aligning with him, where one day we will live with him, one day we will be with him, one day we'll be united with him, that all of a sudden our life becomes more and more like him, better and better. Everything we do should be greater and greater. Just this morning, Pastor Dave and Kay, they were up here with all of their grandkids, and I think that's their feeling, that it gets better and better and better. Why does it get better and better for them? Because they get to send their grandkids home. They get to have people over for the hours and then send them home. Where right now, David, Andrea, Jamie, and Aaron, my wife, if you have kids, sometimes you wish you could send your kids home just for a few minutes. And if not, you're better parents than us. But sorry, Avery, she's in here. I didn't see her there. I'm just kidding. But right, sometimes you want to send your kids somewhere. And there's something that happens. The more and more we get in line with God, it's like being a grandparent, I think. Like, there's a freedom, there's a life, because I'm not living with the everyday moment of work, the moment of, in this case, sin, things that we don't want in our life. And thankfully, we love children. We have, how many do we have? 14 kids in our immediate right there family. It's amazing. But in my life, I can tell you what, I love the moments when Rachel and I get to just have fun and hang out and enjoy ourselves. And in the same way, in our life with God, we get to have the opportunity to be free and to live and to go into what God has for us. In fact, are there any people in the room that you just are enjoying retirement? Anybody enjoying retirement? We've got some hands right here. I see some other hands. Yes, right. God wants us to live, and I believe the more that we come in alignment with him, we're no longer living under sin and death, and it's like being free. It's like living in retirement, where I get to enjoy the goodness of God, the things God has for me, because he always puts new things in there. He keeps guiding us and directing us, and we get to walk in freedom. We get to walk and experience him. Being united with Christ in his resurrection shows us the power we walk in over sin. It is not on you and me, it's on him and what he does in our life. We get to be better parents, we get to be better leaders, we get to be better people, employees or employers. We get to do everything in our life better because we say, it's not me, but Lord, I'm gonna align myself with you. I'm gonna align myself with what you would do. I'm gonna come under your word. I'm gonna be united with you. And if a sin comes up in my life, I'm gonna say, no, certainly not. I want that out of my life. Maybe if you're a young person or you are someone that the rebellious spirit has just stayed strong in you, I could ask you, I would beg you, in fact, when we get it, and we say, Lord, I don't want to do my own thing anymore, but Lord, I want to align with you. Your life begins to take free. It takes freedom. It takes off. There's a new thing that happens in you, because being united with Christ and his resurrection shows us the power to walk, that we have to walk in over sin. He wants to move in you. Verse 11, I think, brings it all home. It says, so you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Today it is time not only to be dead to our sin, which I pray that we work on that. I pray and I'm thankful for God's grace. But now we are alive in Christ to live for him and do what he's called us to do. We're alive in him to experience him. And in fact, when I begin to look at this and begin to think of this, and even back to verse 9, that we're never gonna die again. You know what I think right now in a COVID-19 situation in our world? I'm excited that I'm gonna live my life, and I pray I use wisdom. I pray I follow the Lord in everything. But you know what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna live my life. I'm gonna share Jesus with people around me. I'm gonna encourage people around me, because you know what? I have freedom in Christ. I believe God protects us, and you know what? The worst thing that could happen, the world would say, is I die. And you know what happens when I die? I don't die, but I get to go be with Jesus. I'm never gonna die again because I put myself in him, and I'm gonna be able to be a part of what he has. I'm alive in him right now, but man, it's gonna get more and more and more real until one day we get to be with Jesus in heaven. And I'll tell you what, that's gonna be a good day, being with Jesus, where we don't have our sin of our world. And I, when I was a young person at college, people would always ask that, like this, the debate question. You know, if today you could go be in heaven and that was, you know, or stay here, I'd be like, peace out, I'm going to heaven. Like, this is a simple, simple question. Now today, with my wife and 5 kids, I think that I'd have to think about it a little bit more because my wife, she would somehow get me and kill me, like bring me back, kill me, then I would be in heaven, I guess, because that would not be very nice. But guess what? Alive in Christ means that even in the middle of COVID-19, I don't have to have any fear. Not because I couldn't get it. Absolutely, I could get it. Someone in my life could pass away from it, but you know what? Let's tell the world about Jesus. Let's be sure everyone we know knows Jesus. And whenever our time is, if it's in 2020 or in 2080 something, or whenever we might die, we're gonna go be with Jesus, and we don't have to fear because we're alive in him. We're alive in him. And every day we become more and more alive in him, because every day our goal is to look more and more like him, until one day we literally are in heaven with the God of the universe. And there's not anything in between us. We don't have the sin of our life any longer. That is the ultimate freedom. When I think about sin in my life, Charles Spurgeon, I think he said it really well, that I wanna be this. I wanna be someone that God has so changed your nature by his grace that when you sin, you will be like a fish on dry land. You should be so out of your element and long to get into the right state again that you cannot sin, for you love God. And this morning, if there's something that's gripping you or holding you, I would encourage you, would you ask God, Lord, make it feel to me like I am a fish on dry ground every time I sin. When I was a kid, I always prayed, it was maybe a really stupid prayer, but I always pray, Lord, if I sin and I'm not repentant, would you just hit me upside the head with a 2x4. Like, Lord, I don't want to be in sin. I don't want that to be a part of my life. And I believe there's some people this morning that you need to start having the prayer, Lord, I'm not just going to do what I do because it is who I am. I'm going to be who you've called me to be. And where sin is, it's got to go, because it's already died in Christ. It's already gone. And now I have new life to rise and to live and to walk as he would have me to walk. It's freedom. It's freedom not to keep on sinning. That's hurting you, that's hurting someone else. But it's freedom to walk in Christ and to be able to do it with the most fun possible. Might you have to not hang out with some people as much? It's possible. Could you have to stop looking at or consuming or how you talk or what you say? Absolutely, that could all change. But I believe that is the only time we can come into perfect alignment with him and have true freedom, have true liberty and be alive in him, as we put sin down. What Christ has done, we put ourselves under that and walk in the freedom that he gives us. Do not let sin reign in your life. You are set free from the reign of fear and sin, and you have liberty in Christ. And even if today you struggle, I encourage you to account it, to declare it today, that I am free of that sin. I'm free of that struggle. I'm free of what I've struggled with. It may have been weeks or it could have been your whole life. I'm free of it. It is dead. Jesus killed it. It's gone in his death and then his resurrection to new life. And I believe not just coming and saying, Lord, forgive me, but Lord, forgive me. That is gone. It's cut off. I won't do it. I won't be a part of it. And all of a sudden, there's a new freedom. And it might take for some, it might take going and getting an accountability person, someone you can iron and sharpen iron with, someone that can encourage you, someone that can walk with you. And guess what? It is well worth any discomfort or any pain to say, Lord, I crucify the old man. The old woman is gone, and now I walk with you, alive in you. I'm alive in your resurrection. The Lord is so good. You are set free. So this morning as we close, there's two groups. Number one is if you're here and you say, I've never given my life to Jesus, I would encourage you right now. He is such a great God. He loves you. All he wants is a relationship with his children. He wants a relationship with you. And all you have to do today is ask him, Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you make me new? I repent of my sin, of the things that have hurt me or hurt others. And I want to be what you've called me to be. And guess what? In a moment, you're made righteous in him. In a moment, his grace pours upon you, showers upon you. And you are his part of his family. You're his child. It's done. One moment. And today, if that's you, I'm going to ask you right where you are. Maybe you're at home today. Would you just take a moment? Maybe you're in the room today. Would you take a moment and ask him, Lord, forgive me. I want to be a part of your family. I want to live in you. I want freedom in you. I repent of my sins. Just like that, in one moment, it's done. And the Bible says all of heaven rejoices. Heaven's so excited that one person comes into his family. And then for every single person here today, I pray that we say, Lord, I don't want sin in my life. I am accounting it as dead. It is gone from me. I cut it off, and now I will walk in freedom. And today I believe that some of us, maybe all of us, could think of one specific thing. And I encourage you, would you in your mind, maybe even with your voice today, would you just speak that thing? Lord, I cut it off. I get rid of it. It's gone from my life. And today, I have that resurrection into new life. That it's gone, but freedom has come to my life, to my home, to my family. We're going to walk in you. So Lord, right now, we are so thankful, God, that you move and that you restore and that you bring life. Lord, we are so thankful that we should not keep on sinning. Absolutely not. And Lord, so we come before you and we lay the sin of our life, the things that hurt ourselves or hurt somebody else. God, we lay those down before you. And God, we account those as dead. Your death, what you did, you buried those things. And today, God, we speak those things. We even curse those things off of our lives. Lord Jesus, and today we rise again in resurrection of new life, of new hope. Lord, that we can live in your grace, continued God, but not because we're sinning, but just because that's who you are. And Lord, when we do mess up, Lord, I pray commit to turn ourselves to you, to cut it off, to get rid of it. Lord, that what we maybe do today, we in 5 years look back and say, I can't believe it, because you've continued to reveal to us who you are. Lord, we ask you to forgive, to restore, and make new. And Lord, we can never thank you enough for the righteousness that you give us, the grace that you pour out upon us, that while we are in the process of sanctification, we are already justified in you. We've already been accounted as righteous. Lord, thank you that you give us a future and a hope, and we get to walk in you and in your love and in relationship with you, God. But Lord, not to keep on sinning, but to become like you. We love you and we praise you. Lord, you are so, so good. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you for your grace today, God, that you pour out upon us. It's in your holy and precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Radiant Life this week, let's go live a free life in Christ. Let's go live as he's called us to. Be the best parents that you've been in a long time, the best employee or employer that you've been. Be the best Christian because you're walking alive in Christ. You're dead to sin and alive in Christ. We love you all. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Have a great week.